This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rop and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Package.
All right, we are back. Thank you.
I owe Peyton Manning an apology.
Yes, you do. First of all, it was Brock Osweiler.
That's my apology.
Oh, I thought you were...
You were not benched for Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
You were benched for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. He's tall.
The big tall guy.
No, my apology won't come from my statement of he is the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. I would also like to point out, in that Super Bowl, he went 13 of 23 for 141 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception.
Gritty yards, though.
That is a rating of 56.6, by the way.
Look, we all know he wasn't what he used to be. We all know that.
Stop it.
Well, we know that.
During the regular season, he got benched, started 9 games, he completed 59% of his passes, he threw 9 touchdowns. Would you care to guess how many interceptions?
77.
17.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 70.
17.
Yeah, no,
and
look,
he had a quarterback rating.
We get it.
Of 60.
We get it.
He was so. I just.
What
Peyton
is the point?
Peyton Manning did not win a second Super Bowl.
He sure did.
He did not. He was a corpse standing back
and
there.
And he has the ring to prove it. And
sure.
You, sir, will not be able to take that away from
Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer gets mocked all the time. Trent Dilfer was 10 times more important in the Ravens Super Bowl than Peyton Manning was to his second one.
He still won it.
Sure.
And there is your first elder quarterback case study from Jason Sukanik.
9 touchdowns, 17 picks. But yeah, he had a lot to do with that Super Bowl.
I want another one.
Which is worse, getting benched for Brock Osweiler or getting benched for Paxton Lynch?
Probably Lynch.
But then I owe
Osweiler at the time was intriguing.
Then I owe
Paxton Lynch was never.
Then
intriguing.
I owe again. Then my apology stands. I'm sorry for saying you got benched for Paxton Lynch.
Well, anyway, I want another elder quarterback case study from you next week, please.
See what I can do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where were we?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I was busy yelling about Peyton
birthdays,
Manning.
Dude. Well, yeah, we got a big birthday. But hey, did you see the big TGL comeback?
No, I did not.
It was wild,
dude. It was crazy.
It was wild.
Was it crazy?
Yes.
Yeah, the LA Golf Club had a 2% chance of victory while standing on the 12th tee. Now, they only played 14, so they needed to win, hammer, and win again on 12, and then they won, walked it off in overtime.
I understood nothing of what you just said.
Just trust him. It was awesome.
They had to win, hammer, and win?
They had 3 holes to win 4 points, so they won one, and then they won. They hammered, so it was worth 2,
if you
hammer,
and then
they won another
one.
There's only 14 holes?
Yeah, they only play 15, I think, right?
I think it's 14, and then if they're tied after 14, they go to overtime.
I love the YouTube boobs that over here gambling us don't even know how many holes they play.
Well, no, we don't know. But look, we won.
Sure.
We won again.
That's right.
We're red hot.
You're seriously like 7-1 on the season.
Yeah.
And you don't even know the rules, but I love it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I know the golfers. That's what matters,
that's
bro.
What matters.
Got a hot tip coming for the 6 o'clock match.
Yeah, my hot tip is, well, actually, I'm not going to give it out. You need to call 1-900-888-LOCK. I hope to go 2-0.
I thought you were just going to tease and hold the viewers for the rest of the show. You can find out in our second to last segment.
I can't imagine anyone is betting this at all, but in the event that they are, and I am hot, I like Boston tonight.
All right.
Rory has not won yet. And
he's invested.
He's going to win.
So he's clearly bothered that he hasn't won on the big TGL.
He's going to win.
Yeah.
And they're playing Atlanta. It's a good matchup. Good little matchup.
Good little
matchup. Justin Thomas plays for Atlanta, you know, so it's a tough match. But I think Rory's going to pull it out.
All right.
Boston strong.
Oh, yeah. Was that...
as they say.
That was the bombing, right? Where that came from?
Yeah, the marathon bombing.
The marathon
bombing.
Yeah. Boston strong.
And then the manhunt that followed.
Yeah, I think I'm waiting for the 30 for 30 on that.
They had a
there was a documentary.
There was a documentary on it. That was actually pretty good.
It was great.
I managed over the weekend because I wasn't feeling well, so I was on the couch. I did manage to get through the Gabby whatever
Petito.
Yeah, and I regret watching it.
Yeah, I mean it's look, it's the story. If you want the story, you're going to get it. Yeah. It's just there's nothing like
no.
Again, my comment on that is, while an interesting watch, it's an unremarkable story in a sense that we've seen it, that story over and over again. It's just the abusive, crazy boyfriend, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just,
and
it's
she tried to get away, but
it just seems so preventable.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, it also led me to hate vloggers, which I already do, and that whole thing. It's just the whole thing. It did nothing for me.
So the birthday today.
What's the birthday?
Is the great
Jonathan Klingon.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. The Block Lobster?
The Block Lobster.
How old is the Block birthday? Lobster?
I think he's 21.
Whoa.
Celebrating his 21st birthday in Salt Lake City?
That's right.
Ow.
You couldn't do it any better.
Boy, is there a worse place to celebrate 21 than being in Salt Lake?
Boy, that is so young.
That is young.
That wasn't actually the birthday, though.
Yes.
Wait, what?
That wasn't your birthday, though.
Oh, no. No, I didn't know Donovan Klingon shared a birthday with this great man. The great Phil Knight.
Oh, I did see
it
that.
It is his birthday today.
I did see that.
Do you remember PK-80?
I do remember PK-80.
Well, it's now PK-87.
I know, right?
That He's getting old,
it
dude.
It does not seem like it was that long ago.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
And they did a couple of those PKs, those basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
They're not doing that anymore, but he's 87 today.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Kudos to Phil, because I love Nike. I'm wearing my hot pink Nike Air Max today.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was in honor
Those
of
are
his
hot.
Birthday. They are very, I believe these are called Fireberry. I love Nike. It is my favorite athleisure wear. I've been a Nike guy my whole life. And that's a great American story in Phil Knight. Whatever you think of him and that company, it is a giant success. And I thought Shoe Dog was a really good book, his autobiography. Or was it his autobiography or just his biography?
It was his biography, I believe.
Yes. That is an amazing story, and from little old Oregon. So, way to go, Uncle Phil.
Do you think that have you guys ever seen Phil Knight wear anything other than black?
No.
He doesn't wear the duck color. Like I was thinking about this today, and then I had to go Google it. There are no photos of him in yellow and orange or yellow and green.
No, he wears
it's
jeans,
all black.
Black t-shirt, black blazer, black Oregon hat.
Yes, yeah. And sometimes a black shirt like you have on that has the green Oregon on it.
Yes.
Or and he wears Oregon shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
But he doesn't have you ever seen him in a yellow or green Oregon gear?
No. You'd think for being like the founder, he'd be in like athleisure wear and sweatshirts and tracksuits and stuff all the time, and he's not.
Well, he's got the maybe there's something to this one, like because was it Steve Jobs, right? Zuckerberg, the billionaires, they just wear one thing. Phil wears the same thing every time. So maybe there's something to just that billionaire mindset where you're like, oh, I'm rocking the black t-shirt and the jacket and throw the cap. And I guess he doesn't really need to be flashy. He's Phil Knight, for God's sakes.
Well, don't you think when you get that rich and you're that high profile, that if you wear something, If you don't streamline it, you tee yourself up for, especially if you're not the most, you
Getting
know, like
mocked.
Stylish, yeah. You know, like he's not the most stylish guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of open yourself up for getting mocked, whereas if you just stick with what's safe and what you know is good and what people recognize you in,
Well,
it's easier.
This is a valid point in that...
That's what Zuck does.
Yeah, that's what I say. The to your point...
My guy Zuck.
The Zuck. Jordan, that being Michael Jordan, is the most iconic athlete of all time. He has the most iconic brand of all time. He has the most iconic shoes of all time. And you know, that dude is constantly ridiculed because he dresses like a boob. Like, people make fun of that guy nonstop. They're like, you have access to the most successful offshoot brand in sports history, and you look like an ass clown.
Every time people see him in a pair of jeans, he doesn't hear the end of it. No. He cannot find a pair of jeans that fits him right.
He just gets mocked, like... all the time. And he would do wise as he gets older to do the Phil Knight thing. And MJ find, like, cause he says 11s and threes are his favorites. Wear nothing but 11 and threes and then find a pair of pants and then the Phil Knight jacket combo that works for you and never deviate. Cause you're right. He just gets mocked. And maybe that was Phil. Maybe Phil saw Jordan getting made fun of and is like, not as I get older. Cause aging gracefully is a hard thing. You know.
Or you just gotta, I don't know. I think maybe you have an image, you know, you have an image to uphold, and so you just stick with what works.
Yeah.
Less about you. He probably doesn't care if he's mocked.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, this black t-shirt, black sport coat works for me, so I'm just gonna keep going.
Well, it's either that or
I can buy 30 of them.
It's either that or you do the other way and you just hire a stylist to always look good. But maybe guys like that don't want to.
They don't do that. Like, Paul Allen didn't do that. No. Phil Knight doesn't do that.
Well, Paul, you know, rest his soul, Paul dressed like a slob and looked like a slob. Phil at least looks put together because, again, he wears the same thing and black is slimming. And, you know, the black blazer is universal, right? It just works.
By the way, somebody said they remember Trey Young at the first peak at the first Phil Knight tournament, the PK80.
Was he really?
Which I looked it up, was 2017.
Oh,
Trey
God.
Young played in that tournament.
Jeez. That
time flies, man.
That does not seem like it was that long ago.
You know who won that tournament?
I don't remember who won that.
I don't either.
Because all the Nike schools were there. I mean, was Kentucky there? Maybe Michigan State? I remember Izzo being there. I'm going to say Michigan State.
Yeah, I think it was Michigan State. Yeah,
look at that.
They beat North Carolina, it appears.
By the way, that was merely just a, I bet Michigan State.
Total stab in the dark by you.
Just stab in the dark.
Cassius Winston won MVP. Mm. Trey Young, Luke May, Jalen Barford, and Joshua Langford were the all rounded out the all tournament team.
By the way, I'm just looking at photos of young Phil Knight, and it's a trip to see him without the without any facial hair. And
he looks very different.
He looks very different when he's
Marvin
out.
Bagley, the MVP of the 2019 Phil Knight tournament.
Oh my God, okay, are we Marvin 1,000 years old?
We are. Yes, I think that's what we're learning here. And in the 2022 event, a little closer to.
Today?
To Dizzle. Doesn't have the MVP. Mm. I don't know. Maybe there wasn't one. Mm. But they did three of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy birthday, Phil. You big stud.
87 years old.
All right.
What happens to... And I know he has set it up to supposedly where all this stuff is going to be self-sustaining after he's gone, but I wonder how much of an impact when he leaves us to go to run in the old sky or the other way. I don't know where Phil's going, whatever you think of him. I just wonder what happens to Oregon when his influence is no more.
No one knows.
Yeah.
No one knows.
But you hear again, there's rumors is that he has set it up to where all of that stuff will be able to keep going.
It has to have an impact though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can try to replicate it, but it's
won't last forever.
Well, even Nike, you know, since he has stepped down and taken
less
role. Like
exactly.
It's hard to replicate.
All right, up next is our stock watch that we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on the Fan.
It's primetime stock watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. The man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, nice to have you along. It's Monday, but you already knew that. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah, maybe you're just waking up and you're like, oh my God.
What day is it?
Went on a bed.
You're like the olds. They don't know. Yeah. They don't care what day it is.
Yeah, once you retire or you're on vacation, days cease to have meaning.
Here's Buckley with our stock watch.
Yeah, that's right. The Portland Trailblazers back on the winning track after bludgeoning the Charlotte Hornets over the weekend. Here's head coach Chauncey Billups on franchise cornerstone Tumani Kamara.
Yeah, I think that this is, you know, his next level, and as he continues to get better and better. I loved more than anything the quality of shots that two was shooting tonight. You know, open threes, obviously, boom, always take them. He gets himself in trouble sometimes when he over-penetrates and he gets in the air off of one leg and tries these tough finishes. We're trying to make him better and eliminate some of those looks. He didn't do that tonight, you know, so I just thought his shot quality was incredible. Obviously, he's so efficient, but when two is a finished product at some point, I don't know when that's going to be because he's still very early in it. He'll be able to do both. He'll be able to score and impact the game offensively, as well as obviously we know how good he is defensively.
Blazers obviously a little hamstrung personnel-wise this season, but given the job that Chauncey Billups has done this season with the roster he has, buy or sell, they should give him a look at extending him.
It's going to be hard not to, right? I mean,
so he's a free agent?
It's last year of his deal. They've not extended him yet.
So, and look, I mean, if you're Portland, I don't know how you don't look at him. Now, the question becomes, does he want to be here? I think that he's trying to coach for another opportunity. And I think given the opportunity, he would leave. I don't think he's dumb. I think he realizes that this is still a long way off. I think he's coaching to get out of here. Should they give him another look? Sure. But at the same time, look, if Chauncey Billups leaves, dude, that's not the end of the world.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Kamara.
Oh.
No, Billups. Billups.
Yeah, you're talking about Billups. Yeah, when you were talking about Billups, then I was like, wait a minute, what's he talking about Billups for?
No.
I'm thoroughly confused.
Kamara has...
But now I'm okay.
Kamara has established that he is the one guy that I can say definitively that in the next 5 years, he will be on this team. There's just no reason to go anywhere else. That guy, and he's not a star, that guy is going to be a very, very good player in this league. But with Billups, like, if you want to bring him back, sure. If he doesn't want to be here or if he wants a bunch of money or wants a bunch of concessions, dude, Chauncey Billups is a dime a dozen. The guy seems to be a solid coach. He's done better than you thought with this team. But again, if that doesn't fit into your long-term plans, I don't think anyone is crying in their beer if Chauncey Billups decides to go somewhere else. I don't think anyone would be upset if you bring him back. I think he's just the definition of, he's an NBA coach.
So you're asking the question, should they bring him back now?
Yes. Should they consider extending him or signing him to a new deal?
It's an interesting question because I think they pissed him off to the point where we all kind of thought
that he wouldn't want that.
There's no way.
Now he's performing so well. Like, if it's made me think they should maybe go in another management direction and keep him around because he's done okay.
Oh. Ooh. So Jody comes in and fires Cronin.
I mean, that seems unlikely, but.
Yeah, I doubt she does that.
Well,
but
if you do, you probably just clean house and everyone.
I think Chauncey's earned a little bit of cred.
Yeah, I think Chauncey's a good coach. I do. And I do think he's a good coach. He just has a crappy roster.
So that's hard to judge anyone off
but
of that, which is half the NBA.
I also feel like they've done too much damage. I think he's out of here, assuming he gets another offer. Now, if he doesn't get another offer, that's when it becomes interesting. Do the Blazers try to bring him back? And then if he doesn't have anything else out there, well, I can't imagine he would just walk away, would he, without another gig?
No.
Okay, so then in that scenario, he would probably be back.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I like him. I just think they've pissed him off, and I think he's out of here.
That he won't want to, even if they wanted him.
I would tend to agree.
Well, I don't think he'll want... But again, the scenario of if he doesn't have anything else
if
out
there's
there,
no chair
he's
for him
not
to sit
just going
to
quit.
Yeah.
Or maybe he will. Maybe he's so bent out of shape that he would. I doubt he would. I think if you're the Blazers, you do look at mending that fence. Yeah. But it may be too late.
How about a little bit of college hoop over to Madison, Wisconsin, where the Ducks came back from 17 down against the 11th-ranked Badgers.
15 seconds left. Ducks have fouled five times, Wisconsin six. Oregon inbound. Up top to Shellstad. Shellstad, long three. Oh! Tie game! Ducks got to play D.
Did he make it?
I don't think you react like that for a miss, but maybe.
Yeah. Maybe you do.
Whenever he does that, he's like, off the back iron. Dude, that is a deep Damian Lillard-esque three.
That's a good shot.
And then they rallied in OT.
They win in overtime, and for the 15th straight season, Dana Altman's Ducks have won 20 games. He's only one of only two coaches in the country to have done that. Buy or sell, Dana Altman is the most underrated head coach in the country.
Whoa.
That's good. Whoa. He's a very good coach.
He's always been underrated to the point where I think he's no longer underrated.
Because he's been talked about as being underrated?
Is he the Kyle Whittingham of college basketball?
Yeah, that's a good
that's
comp.
A good comp.
He's just good.
He's just good.
You know, you go through that six-game swoon, and everyone is like, oh, my God. And yet, here they go. They right the ship. They go on the road. They beat Iowa. And it was like, well, Iowa sucks. Well, then, you know, Wisconsin's going to be the real test. And then you go into Wisconsin. You win that game. And watch him. He'll end up in the Sweet 16 with a team that isn't that talented. Yes, Dana Altman is underrated. But at this point, yeah, I think the word is out. Everyone knows that Dana Altman, look, he's not Tom Izzo, right? He's not Coach K.
Yeah, he's still short of being like a superstar head coach somehow, but he's right below that.
That dude is a rock-solid coach, and you cannot count his teams out.
Well, I mean, he's way up there on the wins list, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think amongst his peers, there's no way he's underrated. They always respect Dana Altman and always have. I think to the casual fan, it's like, that guy.
Yeah.
But he is definitely, I don't think he's underrated to answer the, you know, to buy or sell the stock, because I think he was when he got to Oregon,
he's
maybe.
He's gotten his flowers now.
Yeah, I think he's been around long enough that people get it
with
him. And he's done enough in the tournament that people get it with him. He's nasty. And he's stylish.
The brush.
Mr. Personality.
Well, keeping it within the conference, Eric Musselman, the latest coach out of Los Angeles, to criticize the travel schedule.
I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of things that factor. Number one, UCLA, Washington, Oregon, USC. We're in the hole 2 to 4 games based on travel. And it's going to be that forever for men's basketball. So you either got to do it. UCLA women and USC women, and you got to have far superior talent in order to survive all this. This is the same trip that Coach Cronin, you know, had his, and unless you're doing it or have done it in the past, which no one has done it unless you've been in the NBA. And when you travel three time zones and you're out here for 6 days, and we're going to get back right now, we're supposed to stop in Kansas City or Tulsa. We're going to get back roughly at 3 a.m. Then we're going to bus. And then they're going to go to class at 8. And you're not going to be in your bed even to try to attempt to sleep until 4 a.m. And then you have a class in 4 hours, which means you got to get up, you got to shower, you got to get to class. So, you know, should a West Coast team be playing a game at 6 o'clock at night? By the way, Ohio State's in Los Angeles and has been there for 2 days. And they played several hours before us. But yet we're the team that has to travel cross country. And then our body clocks have to readjust. So is that why we lost tonight? No, I'm more worried about the travel affecting our game at Ohio State than I am this game, because when the schedule came out, the game that I thought we would be most affected by is Ohio State.
Okay, dude, shut up already.
Exactly.
Buy or sell that any West Coast coach who agreed to have their team go to this conference should have their mic cut and should be fined by the conference for complaining about travel.
Yes, cram it.
Cut his mic.
Just roll it up real tight and cram. Give back the money then. Don't do it.
And USC and UCLA were the ones who pioneered this, and they're the ones complaining. And, oh, by the way, all those schools in the Midwest, they still have to come to you, too.
Well, wait a minute. Did Musselman even – was he even in the Pac-12, or is this his first
– He might have still been with Arkansas when they made that move.
So yeah, I can't remember.
But I think he went knowing that they were going to the Big 12.
Yeah,
so he signed up for this.
Yeah. Well, and it's you know, it's another one that he's the USC coach.
Yes.
That's the team that blew up the Pac-12.
Thank you.
So he should have – look, he doesn't – have any say on whether USC comes or goes. at the same time, he should have that awareness. And yes, they should, well, I don't know about cut his mic. What was the other thing?
Fine him.
Fine him. I mean, I don't know about any of that, but he should have the awareness.
Exactly. Just cram it.
To shove it.
No one cares. And by the way, can we stop? Can we stop with the class thing, you asshat? Your kids aren't waking up at 7:30 in the morning to go to class. I would love to see your kids' schedule, okay? Can we just stop the charade that these coaches have their kids in chemical engineering? My God, half of these kids... We all know where academics ranks. Let's not act like USC is somehow the Princeton of the West. All right, when you are at a USC or a UCLA or an Oregon or a Duke, even a place like Duke, okay, that's known for academics, or North Carolina, stop with this. They're there at 7:30 in the morning going to biology. That stuff is the kids want millions of dollars. They want NIL. They want profit sharing. As Cardale Jones said, I didn't come here to play school. And yes, there are kids that do it and that do take those classes and do have to get up and grind. And trust me, I know plenty of Pac-12 and now Big Ten college football and basketball players that go to one class a week if you're lucky. So take that crap and send it somewhere else.
By the way, Dana Altman was asked about the travel. He said, we wanted to be in the Big Ten. We asked to be in the league. We're not complaining about the travel or complaining about anything. We've made a few trips, and our guys enjoy the new environment.
Thank you. It's like when...
Well,
when,
USC did, too. I mean, like, why doesn't Musselman have that awareness?
Well, because he's not good. And one is successful and one isn't. It's like when Dan Lanning, when they had to go play Ohio State, he said, you know what? This is great. It's an opportunity. And everyone else bitches about it. The only time you bitch about schedule or anything else is when you're not good.
When stuff's falling apart.
And then what did I say?
And they have lost 5 of 6.
Yes.
USC.
And what have I always said? The first time you know that a program's in real trouble is when a coach starts what? Complaining about stuff like this. They start complaining about fans. They start complaining about the media. Or they start complaining about travel schedules. It means that your team sucks. And you need to take the onus off of you. And woe is me. How could anyone succeed doing this?
By the way, they play at Oregon on Saturday.
That's right.
But they got that mean Ohio State game on Wednesday. Well, with their body clocks.
And I've got my tutor schedule. And, you know, I got to get to class.
How do they even do it?
I don't know.
I don't think I can make my TA's office hours. It'll be it's going to be rough. Hmm. Finally, quick one for you. Today in the NFL, a proposal in to ban the tush push. Here's what Nick Sirianni has said about the tush push.
You've seen it across the league that people can't do it like we can do it. They can't do it like we can do it. And so I'm making my plug right there. Like, don't ban this play. Like, if everyone could do it, everybody would. Where's the camera? If everybody could do it, everybody would do it.
Buy or sell, the owners should vote to ban the tush push at the league meetings next month.
No. It's not. Philadelphia is uniquely designed. They got rid of Jason Kelce and they still do it well. I've never understood this. It's not, there's no more injuries on that play than any other goal line play, and it's ridiculous. As Nick Sirianni said, if everyone could do it, they would do it, but they can't. Philadelphia does well, and so it's just sour grapes. Shut up about it. It works, and Philly runs it to a T. Everyone, by the way, Buffalo tried it, and Buffalo didn't get jack squat off of it, so maybe they should work harder with it.
Who's worse, the Packers, who are the ones that are trying to get the NFL to vote it out, or Eric Musselman?
Oh, I hate the Musselman thing. That's the travel schedule and the class thing. That's the one that really gets me.
I also think the Packers aren't alone. I think there's other teams
that want it gone. Because they don't want to run
it. They want it gone.
But... Well, they've got a fragile quarterback, and they don't want to run it. Well, so
I think it's kind of silly that you're asking the league to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's a bad look.
It is a bad look. It makes you kind of sound like a bitch. Hey, I can't stop something.
Yeah.
It's like when Saban wanted to ban like up-tempo offenses and running quarterbacks. Well, I wonder why you want that banned, Nick.
There's your Stock Watch. Each Monday, it's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. That's right, Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE, phone questions answered at no charge. Coming up next, it is time for the news. I have something specifically for you.
I'm excited.
That's you.
I'm excited.
My
not,
co-host.
Not the fans, but me.
This is for you.
I can't wait.
Because you often talk about the homeless people with dogs
yes.
issue.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a story about that.
Jams me right up.
We've got that. And record rains. That's next. Here's Buck.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back. It's Isaac and Souk. It's Monday here on 1080 The Fan. It is February 24, 2025. It's time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
What?
It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Trading Card Day.
Oh. I haven't touched a trading card in 35 years.
You know, the market is hot.
Yeah, I see it all the time. My the BTJ's brothers, they love it. And so they buy cards because they can't get them in Japan. So they buy them over here, ship them here, and then we have to send them over to Japan. Like, they're all about it. And you see them, like, when Target and, like, Costco get them in, like, fights break out over them. So people try to go in and buy them all.
I was going to tell you a story, but in my head...
You had it and then lost it?
Well, I can't fully remember. I think it was something like... When I was back in Kansas a couple weeks ago, we went over to this guy's house because he has, like, this epic sports memorabilia collection.
Yeah.
And he's got some old baseball cards in there. And one of the guys I was with said that he went to a baseball card show or a card show.
Sure.
In the 80s. And the card shop guy was like, yeah, you should buy a couple of these Michael Jordan rookie cards. They were like $5.
Yeah. And now, depending on what they're graded, they...
What are hundreds of thousands?
If they're graded properly. Now you have to have everything graded. That's a whole separate market.
It's like zero to 10.
Zero to 10. But if you have like a 10 Jordan rookie, it's...
Yeah. And it's a rare one.
It's quite valuable.
Yeah. So at the time, Jordan was like, I think he was a rookie. And I think that the guy was like, this guy's going to be the next big thing. And my buddy's dad was like, well, I don't know. I don't know about $7 or $5. Yeah. What if you just paid the, you know, 20 and bought four of those?
They've got it on sale here. Looks like for about $500,000 smackers.
God.
If you have a Jordan PSA 10.
$5.
Yep. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And he said he did not do it.
My Jordan rookie, that Jordan Fleer card that if you're a collector, you know, I think I sold one once to a card shop in Portland when I was a kid for like $16. And I thought it was like a big deal.
Yeah. Because you probably got it in a pack or something.
Yeah.
Made like, money, baby.
I was like $16.
What's it worth now?
Hell yeah. Oh, I don't know. Like, I'm looking here. If you have like a 7 or an 8, looks like you can get anywhere from like 20 to 40 grand, depending on, you know.
Wow.
So... But at the time, when I was like 8 years old, $16 was...
Well, what if we took you back to 8-year-old Souk and said, hey, you know, if you hold on to this for 30 years, 40 years, it's going to be worth 20 or 30 grand. Or right now, you can sell it for $16. I bet you 8-year-old Souk's like, well, I'll just take the $16.
Take the $16
It's like
now.
You not liking having your gambling money tied up in futures. It's like, okay, that's great, but what am I can't use this forever now.
Yeah, I'll just take the $16, you know.
I liked collecting cards when I was a kid, and
we all did.
I have no idea what happened to any of mine or if I had anything that was worth a damn. But everyone knew that one kid that took it seriously, and then they went into adulthood, and they have, like, awesome stuff and worth a bunch of money.
I don't know where my cards are either. I was just talking to my dad about that. I don't know what happened to them.
Couldn't tell you.
I don't think I had anything really that good. Although Jeff McGinley, our old engineer, remember Crazy Eyes?
Yeah.
He found a George Brett rookie card once and gave it to me.
Oh, well, that's kind of fun.
So I have that.
Did you ever get it? Like, you never get it graded or anything, right?
I don't even know what to do with it. I just have it.
All I know is if
how much is that worth?
If Greg Jeffries ever turned into something, because I do remember stocking up.
Yeah.
I had like
the mistake cards.
I had like 15 of his rookie card, and I was convinced that it was going to be, you know, that he was going to be the next great Met.
Well, but he had the mistake cards because he had. They had Craig Jeffries and Greg Jeffries, and it was a big deal to get your hands on the wrong card.
All I wanted was the Billy Ripken FU card. Yeah. That was like my whole goal.
The barrel
in
life. Of his bat.
Barrel of his bat. It's all I wanted.
Or on the knob. Of
yeah,
his
the
bat.
Knob. It said FU, but it actually said it. It's all I wanted.
One of the hot ones out right now. It's a one of one card that is a Bryce Harper card, and it has the knob of his RIP Harambe bat barrel.
RIP Harambe. Oh my God. You remember Harambe?
D's out for Harambe.
Remember that old dude?
Yeah.
Just more trying to help a little kid.
More of a Jawless Jerry man myself.
Takes one in the chest.
Yeah. Guy did nothing
unbelievable.
Wrong. Little brat.
Also, it is World Bartender Day. So
there you go.
Shout out to all you bartenders.
Out there doing the Lord's work. Everyone should have a good, solid bartender.
We smash.
I have a rich tradition. Both of my kids, well, the one's not old enough yet, but the oldest boy and girl have both slung suds. So I'm doing something right in this world.
It's a good trade.
Well, and it teaches you a little bit about people, right?
Yes, it does.
It's good to get behind 3 feet of mahogany at some point, and it teaches you about the human condition.
You also learn what a real drunk is.
There you go.
Smash rain records on Saturday.
Yeah, it would not freaking stop.
2.18 inches. In Portland, beats the previous record from 1996. Although at my house, it felt like Sunday was worse. But
it goes drip.
It just didn't stop. That thing drip. It was punishing this whole weekend.
Yeah, and today.
Yes.
But tomorrow is supposed to be nice in the afternoon, and then Wednesday, Thursday supposed to be real nice, like spring weather.
Oh, look at us.
60s, blue skies, cocaine.
Ooh, that's just falling out of the sky too.
So I have a homeless people with dogs story for you.
Yeah, this one jams me up a little bit.
And we will get to that next on The Fan.
This is The Fan's Window into Sports. A view into today's top stories. Brought to you by Window Nation. Online at windownation.com.
Ryan Gold up and over for Brian White. Gets the inside track, goes down. And is it a free kick? Is it a penalty?
Yeah, it's a free Miller's kick. Miller's in big trouble.
Red card.
Big trouble. Trouble,
come on, Miller. Oh, some guy for the Timbers got a red card?
Yeah, they got their ass kicked. I was supposed to be at that, but one, I wasn't feeling good, and two, it was pissing rain the entire time. So
who got the red card?
Miller.
Who's Miller? And what did he do?
He had a tackle in the box that was against the rules, and when you get
Can't
a red card 11 minutes into the game, you're playing a man down for the next 89 minutes.
4-1, the Whitecaps. Those damn Canadians, I'll tell you what, had I been there, I would have booed.
Wasn't that the team the Timbers lost to in the playoffs?
Yes.
Didn't they go to the playoffs? Anybody?
They lose to them or they got eliminated by them?
Oh, that might have been right. You might be right. All right. 50% off all window styles right now at Window Nation, plus 5 years interest-free financing. Schedule your estimate by calling 866-90-NATION or visiting windownation.com. I'm looking at a George Brett rookie.
Yeah.
$65,000.
Oh. Not bad.
Well, that's a 10.
That's a 10. And by the way, most...
They're never in it.
They're never a 10.
That's a mint condition.
Yeah, like 10's never out. Realistically, if you have a card, chances are it's like a 6 to an 8.
Here's one that's an 8.
That's
for $455.
There you go.
Well, still, I mean, you know.
Well, and you could have a card even at a 10. Like, I had a buddy of mine, unfortunately, passed away a couple years ago. Great dude. And he had an amazing... He ran Collection Connection. Such a good dude. Rest in peace, Kevin. And he had the most amazing memorabilia collection I've ever seen. His place was like a museum. And he was saying, like, even with the 10, like with the 10s, it's not about, like, it's not even like the condition you keep it in. He said they don't come in 10s. 10 has to be, it's cut perfectly centered. So, like, when the machine cuts it, usually one side is a little other off or the color on it. He said it's just, there's, the 10s are so
rare. It's like a unicorn.
It is a unicorn. So... Like, everyone's like, oh, my card's in perfect shape. It's not. It's not a 10. And the 10s are the ones that have that astronomical value to them.
You know who doesn't get to collect baseball cards?
I know.
Harambe.
D's out for Harambe. All because that little brat had to crawl into the enclosure.
Well, it's not the kid's fault.
It is the kid's fault.
No, it's the guy who shot Harambe.
Well, it's the kid.
The parent or the kid.
Well, the kid, all Harambe was doing was protecting the kid. Am I getting my facts
Harambe
wrong?
Harambe would not have been shot had parent not allowed kid to climb in there.
Well, that's true, but I still blame the guy who shot him. All Harambe was doing was holding the little kid.
Until he tore that kid limb from limb, which he didn't get the chance to do.
Do you think that would have happened?
I think that's why they shot him.
I think it was the fear. I think when you have a little kid, by the time Harambe starts, I think it's like, well, it's probably a little late. You ever see one of those videos of what a chimp does to something when they get a hold of it? Yeah. It's like beat it against the ground. It's terrifying.
I prefer to believe that Harambe was going to cradle the young child.
It's possible.
To safety.
Yeah.
A veterinarian.
Who did not shoot Harambe.
By the way, this is not Portland. Okay, so I'm always amazed at how few people understand that in the news is usually local news.
Yeah.
And the club is just D-off time.
Every now and then, ITN, though, we go outside.
Every now and then, yeah. But this pertains to you because I saw this story and I thought of you. Mm-hmm. It's about homeless people with dogs.
Yes.
And this is from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it was a veterinarian who took a dog from a homeless guy. She claims the dog was not being well taken care of, but she has now been charged with larceny.
Really?
Yes. You can't do that.
See? I was on to
something.
You
can't do it.
I was on to something.
And as a matter of fact, in here, now this is a misdemeanor. It's under $200.
Yeah.
You know, look, it's not like they're going to throw her in jail or anything.
Yeah.
She said that there was no food, water, or shelter for the dog. So, and she being a vet, she's like, I can protect this dog. I'm going to take the dog. You can't do that.
Yeah.
They're now saying that it's almost worse to take a homeless person's dog, no matter the condition. Well, if you think about it, they may need it more than, you know, the average family.
Really?
I mean, that's...
They need it?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's more cruel to take it from a homeless person than maybe even the average family.
I think it's kind of cruel sometimes for a lot of the homeless people to keep dogs.
I
think
agree.
They just do it out of sympathy.
And that's what the vet thought.
Yeah.
But she's now charged.
Well, I am very glad. I'm telling you, by the way, I see that dog that I almost took out of the Home Depot parking lot. I see that thing all the time. That lady is around. And I, every time I see the dog, it crosses my mind that I should take that dog. And I'm glad that I don't.
Now, the homeless person,
I should say.
The homeless person says, his name is Chris. He says that he tied the dog to his truck for 30 or 45 minutes while he walked to a gas station. He says that he has had Vinny, the dog, for 15 years, and he loves Vinny, and he's never neglected him, and he did have water out there while he walked to the store.
I don't know, man. I see plenty of dogs out there.
Why wouldn't you walk to the store with Vinny and tie him up there?
Yeah.
Good question.
I understand it's a tricky situation, and it's probably best just to leave sleeping dogs lie. Right? Just let it.
What if he wasn't sleeping?
Let it be.
Well, according to the judge, you cannot just take something because you feel something's wrong.
Yeah.
You don't just get to take matters into your own hands.
Yes.
So there, a lesson for you.
You can't just kick a homeless person off a bike and take it. No, you can't. I know you want to, you can't.
Now, the vet is saying that none of this is right. She said she spent over $3,000 in medical treatments for Vinny.
Yeah.
And now she's like, wait, I'm just supposed to hand him back over? No. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's, I mean, honestly, just because you're homeless doesn't mean that you can't own a dog. Like,
but if it's neglected, isn't it better off with the vet?
I don't know who determines that. I'd say
Judge.
Yeah.
The judge said, give the dog back.
Yeah. Well, then I'm glad that I didn't take that wonderful husky.
A cautionary tale for
you, sir.
From Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That hits close to home. Because every time I see that dog, I can't. And it's always tied up. Always. And I just, it drives me bananas.
That is in the news for Feb 24, 2025. Brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.